Welcome to Extra Points with your host, Cousin Sal, and his pals, Dave Damashek and Charlotte Wilder.
All right, welcome to Extra Points, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with his good, good friends, Dave Damashek and Charlotte Wilder, who is on location. She's doing interviews for Fox Digital right now. Very busy. She will be back with us next week. But Dave, coming into February 1st, we got through January. That was going to be the hard month. Thank God. Thank God that's over with. And now we're February 1st, Super Bowl week. Capped off last night. I have to bring it up real quick. Big, big night in my family. The Royal Rumble. You don't watch the wrestling, Dave, do you?
I'll be honest with you. No jive. My prime for WWE wrestling was back in the days of, it really peaked with the Hulkster v. Giant bout in WrestleMania 3. I watched it on closed caption in the Civic Arena with 17,000 other wrestling fans. It was another age, Sal. You couldn't beat it.
I know.
The greatest bout I've ever seen was not, in fact, Hulk versus the Giant. It was Macho Man v. Dragon, the penultimate fight of WrestleMania 3 up there in the Pontiac Silverdome. The greatest single match you could ever see. And I figured I'm going to get out now at the top. I can't beat this. So,
well, that was smart. I try to get out, but the kids, they drag you back in. And now, you know, I have all different ages here. I have a 15-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And now the 7-year-old is really into it. And we have a Royal Rumble pool at our house, and it always leads to tears. It really does. I've done it with my two older sons. There's 30 participants, so we get 10 names each. And it leads like my middle kid lost 3 years in a row and cried. And I tried to show a video of it, and he went on my phone and he deleted them all. I tried to put them on. So now I'm like, all right, I'm definitely recording here. My littlest one wins. Randy Orton RKO's Edge. Edge is the first one. My littlest one drew number one. Edge throws RKO over the Randy Orton over the top rope and wins, and he's celebrating. And my wife is like, oh, thank God, the little one, we're not going to see him cry. But then in true heel fashion, I grab him and I throw him into the chair, and he hits the hard part of the chair. I felt so bad. I didn't post this part. He hits the hard part of the chair, and now he's crying, and everyone's like, oh, what did you do? But he comes back at me with fury. Like, you have when a 7-year-old punches, they're at that level where it's going to be a shot to the nuts. Or if you turn your back, it's hitting you directly in the spine. And I took 3 good spine shots, and I sold it pretty well. I'm trying to make it. Oh, Jim says he has it. Yeah, let's play it for Dave and see what he thinks. Here's my worried wife. Okay.
Oh, no.
That adds to the drama. No.
Fatto. Yeah.
What happened?
Dad, you've ruined this moment for him. This is his big moment.
Yeah, really.
Checking his hip. Big, big smacks to the back there. And yeah, like, wow, good thing I have like 60 pounds of fat to cushion the blow. But that was it. That was it. So congratulations, Harriso. You're the big winner of the pool.
I love it. That's my guy. And I like also that it really is like the Schwarzenegger cyborg versus the T-1000. He's a better version of you. He's learning from your mistakes and your weaknesses. He knows how to solve you, deleting videos and everything else.
Right.
I support it.
Yeah, there's too much going on in this house. But yeah, crazy time is for sure. Back to the Super Bowl. Here we go. Hey, we're going to have our own contest here. Ooh. Because there's a lot of losing, Dave. We talk about people winning all the time. People lose. They can go on FanDuel and win. There are some that actually lose. And
Jim McKay told me about that when I used to watch the open of...
The Agony of Defeat, right?
Yeah, that happens, I hear.
Do you think the guy with the going down the slalom there with the broken skis, he's still around? I'd like to interview him.
It's an interesting question. Is that guy alive? Yeah.
Is it a foreign
person? That would have been 50 years ago, so he's probably at least 20 when that happens. Borderline. Good question.
Right.
It's a good prop bet. That gets us in the spirit of Super Bowl prop bets. Is the Agony of Defeat guy dead or alive? Fun
the
bet.
Thrill of victory.
Right.
And the agony of defeat. And then you see a guy in
a... What was that sport, too, by the way? The sport was, I think, like you.
What do you mean?
When the agony of defeat guy falls, what was that sport?
Well, it's some kind of skiing, right?
That's well, yeah. What I'm saying. Well, we know that, but what I don't was, know. Right, but I think it was like, was that downhill? Ski jumping? No, it wasn't that. Like he falls off a ledge. He falls off a ledge.
Oh, he does. All right. If anyone has info on this, hit us up at the extra points.
I would like to say about that. I've queried this in the past, Sal, and now I throw it to you. Mm. You know, like if you don't know how to shoot a bat, if you've never played basketball before, you could go outside to the closest rim and shoot 1,050 shots until one finally goes in. You can miss the first however many, and then one goes in, and then you're out. What's the ski jump equivalent of that? Like how many? Like you can't go out there and wipe out 1,000 times. You can't just like, I'm going to go down this giant hill of snow on my skis and launch myself into the sky and like. Mm. I mean, I'm probably not going to land for the first 1,000, but so what? I'll just keep getting back up. Like, don't you die?
I never understood that. The skateboarding is a lesser version of that.
Right.
The parkour is insane. The trial and error involved there. First people to jump out of planes. I don't understand. I don't understand a lot of things. And that's one of them.
Eating an oyster, you know? Who was the first one to eat the oyster? That looks good. Wait, whoa. Look at this rock at the bottom of the sea. Wait a minute. It's if you really, really work hard at it and stab yourself repeatedly, you can crack that thing open and inside is a viscous mess. Put that in your mouth.
There you go. You have experience with that. New Orleans. Anyway, yes, all risky propositions. Here's something though, for your risky proposition, we are offering the extra points, extra chance, bad beat, buyback contest. You present us Sunday night or Monday morning with your losing FanDuel bet or parlay. And if we deem it to be the bet that causes us the biggest bet ache, we're going to give you $5,555. Real money. $55.55 for Super Bowl 55 at our discretion. If you had the worst beat of the night and you played it on FanDuel, we're going to give you $5,555. And I talked to him yesterday. Harry is going to fly out and present it to you at your door. How about that? It's not enough, Dave, that you get that money. We got Harry flying out wherever he is. I think he's going to go Western Union. He's going to cash it. He's going to bring some money over there. And that's how you get it.
Let's dress him up as Cupid and make him like shoot it with an arrow at you.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. Just like in a big diaper, Harry in a diaper.
I like that.
I
want him to have like extra prizes too that are connected to the Extra Points podcast network, like a couple dozen lemon pepper wings in honor of the lemon pepper parlay guys. Maybe he carries a live chicken. Forget about the wings in honor of Jeff Schwartz, our friend who now has live chickens. Just see this monstrosity walking through the streets with cash and chickens dead and alive, and maybe a fruit basket for you from you, Dave, honoring the top fruits of the year.
Right.
Anyway, possibilities are endless.
All hidden away in his fat folds. That's the surprise. Like, look, but wait, there's more. And like, look at what's hidden away in there. You know,
Harry has agreed to do this. Now, let me ask you this. This needs to be documented. We have Jim Cunningham, heel producer Jim Cunningham, babyface Joel Solomon, Eddie Spaghetti and Michael Meatballs. Is anyone willing to fly out for a day to document this, Harry's journey? Let's see. What do you think? No takers? Jim, you say no?
No.
I'm all in. I'll do it.
Really?
Yep.
Michael's up. Meatballs steps up. All right. We may have to hold you to that, Michael.
It's not the flying part I'm worried about. It's more being with Harry. For me.
Yeah, of course. That's the riskier one. All right, Spaghetti, you don't even have to answer because Michael's in. This is great.
Ironic that Harry's name is Harry, because the one thing he has going for himself aesthetically is not being overly hairy.
No, I know. But you know the story about this, right? He had a broadcasting degree. He fancied himself an announcer, and he wanted to be an announcer, and he got a toupee. At the end of college.
No.
He was a very bald man. He got a toupee. The Harry rabbit hole. And then it's one of those things that costs like $1,000. And then you had to, you have to kind of like maintain it at $300 every month. And he was like, screw that. And it looked like such a messy rat's nest by the end of 6 months. And then he decided, no, I want to be a professional gambler. So he ditched the internship in CNN and kept driving west to Las Vegas. And the rest is history. Boy, now he's carrying live chickens to.
And by the way, I I've not read the Iacono epic yet, the Cousin Sal book that's out there for everybody to go get on Amazon and otherwise.
Yes.
But I assume you cover your journey out here, which is an interesting one too. What
I do.
Lured you out to Southern California?
Yeah. I don't even know how I got out of it. I just, I follow Harry and I'm like, yeah, I'll go even further. You're in Vegas, I'll go to LA. But
did
yeah,
you drive across the country?
No. I flew. It was safe to fly back then. I think
let's do that as soon as football season or I don't know, COVID allows.
Drive across
that's
country?
What we should do. We should all just load up and go visit Sports America together.
I love it. I love the idea. I can't even get Jim Cunningham to fly for one day with Harry. How are we gonna drive?
He's turning Jim, the producer, is really turning is taking on the look of a legitimate recluse. I mean, he really is like he has divorced himself from societal norms.
He's Jared Leto, right? Which Jared Leto role are you looking to play?
Not
there?
Getting good. It's going in the wrong direction. I'm afraid.
Charlie Manson, pretty hot this year.
Dave mentioned it. I wasn't going to say anything. You can't lose them all available at Barnes & Noble. And what did we say? Amazon? I'm just trying to make Jeff Bezos an extra few bucks. I want him to break even. You know, head above water this year. But anyway, yes, you can't lose them all. I'm told that I'm like on the borderline, Dave, for bestseller, New York Times bestseller. What a joke that would be, right? That kind of invalidates everything.
Joke's on you, everybody who worked hard and took on a conventional career path.
Right.
Sal got a law degree as a joke and then burned it and then started cracking wise, throwing cold cuts at people and all that sort of jive. And look at him. He's a successful author. I don't know what kids of the 21st century are supposed to glean from this, but
I don't know either. I don't know.
Victory,
I still get
agony of defeat. I don't know what.
Punched in the spine every Sunday night, so it's not all good. But hey, in addition to our extra points, extra chance contest, our bad beat buyback, where someone's going to win $5,555, in keeping with the 55 thing, FanDuel celebrating the 55th edition of the big game with 55-1 odds, FanDuel Sportsbook. Yes. New users can bet on either team, the Bucks or the Chiefs, and get 55-1 odds. $5 gets you $275. You pick the winner of the big game this Sunday. I don't get it. I don't know. I thought I knew math. I don't know how they could afford, Dave, to give out 55-1 odds on basically a coin flip of a game, right? Easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet, odds boosts, specials. We're going to go over all the props. Every day and big super boost each weekend, live betting, place your bet fast during game, see a trend you like, do it. Got to be 21 older in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia, and Virginia. You know, they give the two letter abbreviations for each state, and I feel like I'm going to stumble on any of them, but Iowa, Illinois. It's like I'm the periodic table.
I'd love to give you that quiz. I'd love to see if you could pass that quiz.
The mail
M's
codes?
The M's are where it gets a little tricky when they stand by themselves. If you have them in front of you on a piece of paper, but all the states with an M, what the second letter is. Those
Missouri, those, M-O, I don't know.
Okay, Michigan, good for M-I. You. That one gets tricky. Because in a vacuum, if you just say Missouri to a lot of people, they just go like, am I right? Well, no, not correct.
Right. Oh, and crap. If Missouri's M-O, then what, Montana is M-A? Is that right?
No.
See, no?
Already screwed it up.
M-T?
There you go.
Okay. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use promo code Extra Points. Get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook.
It's Mississippi.
Promo code.
What's Mississippi,
Extra Points.
Sal?
That's got to be M.
What's Michigan?
Oh, it can't be M-I because it's Michigan. So M-S. MS, right? That's unfortunate.
See, now
they were stuck with that.
Gas. Hey, you mentioned the big game, the 55th edition. It occurs to me, here's another quick trivia question for you, Sal. Off the top of my head, I could completely be wrong, which is the best kind of trivia question, is when the asker doesn't know the answer himself. That's the greatest guy
in society
is the guy who loves to ask trivia questions but doesn't know the answer himself. However, if Frank Clark, number 55, were the MVP, he would join at least one person I can think of who wore the number of the Super Bowl that he was just named the MVP in.
Well, is wait it 12? A second.
No, I can't. No, I can't. No, I can't. Take it back.
Is Bradshaw 79? Bradshaw and the Rams Super Bowl? No, who
that
won
was
that?
14. That was Super Bowl 14 against the Rams. And then in 13, number 12 was the MVP against your number 12, Roger Staubach. Boy. And I was just going to say number 12. In number 12, but of course that was Harvey Martin and Randy White, the only split winners of it ever.
Right, but if you subtract their numbers, still don't get there.
Maybe never. I don't know if it's ever happened. Now that I think about it,
we're going to get to that
game. Good for you, Frank Clark.
Frank, do it. Goff Stafford, big trade this weekend.
I heard
Goff. You get a number one, a 2022 number one, a 2023 number one, and a 2021 number three. He goes to Detroit, and the Rams get Matthew Stafford. And I don't know if you heard this, but Matthew Stafford and Clayton Kershaw went to high school together, and now you have two LA. We got a lot of that. There's a lot of that. We're going to hear that coming up.
Please, trade's unofficial Dodgers, yet. Do it for us. Trade Clayton Kershaw. No one wants to hear about this crap.
So we have to hear about their time in Texas high school. Couple things I liked about this. Stafford said he would have gone anywhere but New England. That's the best. That's the best. Want to know what a jerk you are, Bill Belichick? This much of a jerk.
No. Of course. Of course, everybody had to jump in immediately upon hearing this news and make it about Matt Patricia, because Matt Patricia and Matthew Stafford weren't great pals in Detroit. But of course, that ignores the fact that it's not as though Matt Patricia is going to be out there on the practice field and otherwise in Stafford's ear. They can have as little a relationship as possible had it been Patricia in Foxborough.
Patricia back in New England. Yeah.
Yes, right. I'm sorry. Right. Yes. If you would have said, this is about Belichick. And as I say, do you think Bob Knight could have recruited anybody with his hard-o style if that team was under 500 every year? No. You must be successful for anyone to be willing to sign on to this crap.
Yes, and that guy.
There are players on the Patriots who will tell you, yeah, it wasn't that much fun, but the fun is in winning championships, and that's why it's great. That's why you sign on. But like Lane Johnson pointed out, I'd rather win one title with the Eagles or otherwise than win multiple in the Patriots system because it's no fun. It is ultimately condescending. There is a balance to be struck here. Yes, you're being paid great sums of money. Just do your job. I get it. Yeah, it's not about whether or not you're having fun, professional athlete. It's fun enough that you're making millions of dollars playing football for a living. On the other hand, it's awfully condescending and so without any hint of passion and goes against all Rudy and Newt Rockne and all that kind of stuff, like to just do your job. Just do your job. It's like, ugh, what are we all robots? It's no fun.
No, none of us are robots. That doesn't even exist that way.
I love it. I love that this is like, as long as you're winning, you'll get some percentage of people are like, all right, I'll go do that in exchange for a ring or career rehab, or I'm not that good. I wasn't drafted. Nobody saw it. So now I'm in this system and I'll make hay and show everybody doing it the Belichick way. But when you're losing, who wants to go be a part of that mess? I mean, I know we keep talking about it, but this year, and Belichick is intent on proving everybody, as everybody talks about Brady. See, he didn't need Belichick. Belichick is intent on proving those people wrong. 2020, we're just into it now. We haven't even played the Super Bowl yet, and yet this is a massive season upcoming next regular season. Who's he going to get?
We're talking odds. We're talking so many odds for next year. I was like, oh, my God, we haven't even finished this year. It's like I was saying it's like the jockey for Seabiscuit turning to the horse next to him and the jockey saying, hey, who's going to win the Kentucky Derby next year? It's like, my God, we have a huge game coming up.
I know.
And we're talking about Stafford and Goff and if Jimmy G goes to New England. Now, the thing I want to say, I'm weird with Stafford. I really am. I feel like Rob Parker calls him Pad Stafford. Like padding the stats. And I get it because I look at it last four seasons, 23-32-1, 31st rank out of 55 games, 31st ranked quarterback at 23-32-1. But fourth quarter passing yards, 3,900 is top five. 30 touchdown passes in the fourth quarter, that's top five. It kind of demonstrates what everyone says, like, oh, he's a great fantasy quarterback, good garbage time quarterback, but can't get wins. Not going to be the same with the Rams. They'll have the lead. I go back and forth because I think Stafford gets a little too much credit in that regard. And people will point out he doesn't have a 1,000-yard rusher or a 100-yard rusher in games too much, but certainly there for him to get nice stats. And then on the other hand, I think you have to be just a little bit better than Goff to thrive in that Rams offense. So he'll probably do well. What do you think about this?
First thing, short term, 2021, everybody gets a little bit too crazy. They ignore the way pro football flows over the course of, let's say, 3 years, 5 years, whatever. The only thing that really, really you can have substantive opinion on is the season upcoming. I mean, what's going to be with the salary cap and everything, 2 or 5 years and everything else? That's too murky to properly weigh in my opinion. I think the Rams with Matthew Stafford, I said it about the Colts and the Niners, so I feel like I kind of have to say it about the Rams. The Rams are legitimate Super Bowl 56 contenders right now because they have Matthew Stafford, who is basically a better version of Jared Goff. Their skill sets are right. Very similar. It's just one Stafford is
that's
better.
That's what you need, yeah.
I also, in the debate of our time, the rolling debate of our time in pro football is, do QB wins matter? Are those an actual stat? Yes, it's nice to have what, say, Ben Roethlisberger has going for him, never having had a losing season, stuff like that. But I'm not worried as much about what happens in mid-October. More, when I talk about QB wins, it's what happens in January. And Stafford currently stands as the personification of QB wins can't be a stat because look at Matthew Stafford, who's never won a playoff game. At some point, you reach the minimum standard of what's around you before you just can't overcome it. And Matthew Stafford's been stuck in that in Detroit. By the way, I should have beaten your Cowboys. You got a bad call against them.
Had three possessions after that. I know everybody wants to talk about that defensive holding. He lost that game. They had three offensive possessions. People make it like it was the Dez play and it was the last Cowboys possession the following week against Green Bay. But yeah, I don't buy that so much.
But I mean,
but
it's the a great dispute, anyway.
You could say wins, losses don't matter. In October, don't matter. 31st. Like, he's not in the middle of the pack. He's 31st in those 55, 56 games.
I like it, though. And I think, the bottom line is, I mean, I think the Rams really do well getting rid of the Goff contract. I guess there's some financial benefit. I mean, you have to absorb that contract. And so he's your bridge QB, essentially, is Jared Goff if you're Detroit now.
Well, does he take a snap? I think there's 50-50 that he even takes a snap with it. They may just move on from him. What they did was they got the picks. They were in it for the draft picks.
How do you purge that deal, though? It's not like the NBA. It's not as easy to shake off the guaranteed loot now if you're Detroit.
You shook it off with all these draft picks. That's the thing. I know he has to sit bench, but they could maybe do better. They could maybe do better than him with what's still out there. I mean,
can you imagine how, I mean, it's funny if you're a Bears, Packers, or Vikings fan, because, I mean, it's the game that maybe people like me make too much out of, but
yeah.
2 years ago when Goff went up there and it was cold against Chicago, he looked like a SoCal kid or a California boy who had no idea what to do because it was chilly outside, and now he's in the NFC North.
So weird.
Not great prospects for the near future if you're up
there. What's weird is a week ago, we were talking about poor Aaron Rodgers. Does Aaron Rodgers want to move on? He was one of the big winners this week, right? You got Mike Pettine is fired. All right. You don't have to see that guy anymore in the locker room. I actually thought Pettine did a good job. I think that defense allowed like 17 points a game over the last 7 weeks. But at least you don't have to have that reminder of how they absolutely quit at the end of the first half. Mike Pettine's the safety needs to make a play there, but horrible defensive calls. And also now Goff being in the division, pretty good week for Aaron Rodgers. Stay with the Packers. You're good. You got Goff, Trubisky. Who am I missing out on? Draft Trubisky. Oh, Kirk Cousins.
Kirk. Right. And yeah, I mean, he's another, but it's funny because I said 2+ years ago when the Rams gave that contract to Goff, I publicly stated repeatedly, this is not, I don't know if it's a metaphor or whatever, but like moms who want their kids to be healthy, take a slab of regular old bread and then they put some Nutella on it and they're like, here's your dessert. And it's like, just because you call that dessert does not make it dessert. And there's another debate going on of like, I like boneless chicken wings, you know.
Oh, I know it.
Going on.
I
wanted like, to get to those. Just because you call them boneless chicken wings does not make them chicken wings. Those have nothing to do with chicken wings.
Jen and Jerry on Waiver Wire. I hate this. I was listening to it over the week. I was going for a walk and I almost screamed in the park and people were like looking at me. I was so distraught. They claim that boneless chicken, and you're right, they call them boneless chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
They prefer them to bone chicken wings. They were talking about Super Bowl delicacies and what kind of party. That's not a party. That's a happy meal, right? Those are McNuggets. Right. You're a 7-year-old at that point.
You don't get to, like, just because you apply something to trick yourself or make yourself feel better about whatever you're doing. Like, you know, if you, I'm not one of these. If you want to put ketchup on your wiener, go ahead. It's a free society. You know, I've had this debate. Like, oh, you're not, people always love to hit me up on social media. Oh, according to Matt Money Smith, voice of the Chargers, you're a child because you put ketchup on your wiener. And I say, listen, I don't care what Chairman Mounty Smith thinks I'm allowed to put on my wiener. I live in a free society. Ergo, if you want to eat pineapple and put it on your pizzas and ham and all that, okay, let's just not call it pizza because you've now it's not pizza anymore. Come up with a new name. I don't like when Dr. Pepper has vanilla Dr. Pepper. It's like, well, that's not Dr. Pepper anymore. That's some Dr. Pepper plus vanilla flavored concoction.
I gotta tell you, I don't know if they're thinking of redoing the campaign ABC for the agony of defeat, but maybe replace that video of the poor Slovenian ski jumper with Jen and Jerry passing up bone-in chicken wings and going right for the chicken fingers. I think that's the. That's the agony of defeat as far as
I like that I'm better. Concerned. I thought you were going to say having to listen to me for the last 48
seconds. Oh, no.
Because that's not exactly winning at life either. But yes, because you decide that you're a quarterback who you used a first round draft pick on and you kind of structured things in such a way to help him out. When it comes time for that second contract in the hundreds of millions of dollars, just because you've put in this time and effort and constructed this reality for yourself where this is our franchise QB does not mean he's worth that money. I said, Jared Goff was going to be the guy who you had to track to see if these, it's kind of like the running back thing. A couple of years delayed here. Now you have Jared Goff and Jimmy G and Kirk Cousins. Are those guys real franchise QBs that you want to build everything around for the next 5 years or so? Or are they fraudulent in this, in wearing this crown of franchise QB worth this kind of money? The correct answer is no, they are not. And now the Rams are chasing their tail. I think they did the best they possibly could do here, but I do buy what everybody is saying. If you don't make a Super Bowl run now in the next couple of years, you really cooked your goose with the Todd Gurley and Jared Goff deals, both of which were atrocious. And I do give Les Snead some marginal credit for at least at this point, still kind of like you kind of make a case in the here and now, like, boy, they should be good at least in 2021 because they really jammed themselves up with that.
They move, man. They're good free agency wise. They got defensive player. They always do it. They loaded up Wade Phillips with a bunch of defensive players. And yeah, I don't know when it catches up. They used to call it when Eddie DeBartolo did it with San Francisco, did it creative accounting. You know, they'd have Deion Sanders 1 year, whatever else they figure out. It's like, well, when is this going to catch up to him? It's like, well, it seems to work out. It worked out for the Patriots over and over and over because Brady took a pay cut. But the one interesting thing is people are like, oh my God, Deshaun Watson's ungettable now. Now you have to give up 6 ones for him. It's like, just remember the extra one that the Lions got for Stafford was to pay Goff's crazy salary. So that's not exactly the same thing. So you're still trending towards a few number ones with Watson and a number two. But I don't know. I mean, I thought about it too. I was like, wow, why didn't the Rams just go after Watson? Would they have had to offer one more one to get Watson? Maybe Houston doesn't go for it at all anyway, but I wonder what they would have had to give up. Apparently Washington offered more for Goff in a way, depending on how you look at it. That's where I thought he would end up. Sorry, for Stafford. I get confused now. Stafford, I thought was going to Washington.
Oh, the carousel has just begun. It's spins, Sal. You better get all the names straight. They're going to be hard because it's going to be spinning fast and furious. You're barely going to be able to make out which guy you're talking about as they whiz by. Now,
well, I was already wrong. I thought Goff would stay, and I thought Sam Darnold would stay. So let's see what happens there. But
well, yeah, with Watson, the thing that all people are kind of ignoring, and I have no insight on this, so I'll recklessly speculate as is my way. But you know, the Watson part of it is that the Texans are publicly saying that they want to keep Watson. So that's not a small matter if you're any of these teams that are trying to make a decision before March in the new year. If like, how long are the Texans? This is now becomes a critical question in this offseason, is exactly how long are the Texans going to play this game of like, nope, we want to keep Watson. Cause if you keep him, I mean, like, you're going to hold him until the draft, you know, are you
got to get in his head. Is he the type of guy who could actually sit? We haven't really seen that in the NFL, right? We've seen guys object to trades early on and stuff like that, but is he going to sit a couple of weeks? Like that's, yeah, you're exactly right. Like you have to make a decision in March about a guy and what his mindset is going to be like in September. So he calls bluff. What did he do? He unfollowed all the Houston, all the Texans. He took the Texans off all his social media somehow. That seems like a bad sign. I don't know.
I know that these things get better. And in the moment you think, well, this is an untenable thing for the Texans with their superstar QB, kind of biggest star in town, certainly without James Harden there anymore. He's the biggest star in Houston, Texas, a football region of the country, obviously, and all that. It feels like, well, they got to just move on. The best thing they could do is move on and get the second overall pick, trade him up to the Jets and start hyping Justin Fields or Zach Wilson or whatever else you want to do, or get Tua and say, look at all the picks we have and the future is bright. Fear not, Texans fans. But like you say, if they try to do this thing of like holding him until August, then who are these suitors that even exist? Do the Niners kind of roll with Jimmy G and feel like that they're still making, is Kyle Shanahan on Labor Day on the phone with the Texans like, how about now can we make the deal at some point?
It's not gonna get better between now and September. 65-year-old Dave Culley is not going to get younger, right? That guy's 65.
Yeah, he's 65. And then, you know, now this is the craziest, all these fantasy football level trade offers. Like, I mean, obviously I watch Steelers social media heavily. And I mean, the offers that people say, yo, Dave, what do you think about why wouldn't the Texans? Because I am a big advocate of stop talking about Deshaun Watson Steelers. That's just not going to happen. And by the way, to your point, when you want to get somebody in there, it is crazy how magically those things can work out. Like, well, you just don't have the cap room. And like, wait, how did you just get the most? The Patriots have done a lot of that. And I mean, we've seen that in pro football in the last decade. But the one that I've been getting a lot is like, dude, why did, like they say now they want two young defensive starters and two firsts. And it's like, so dude, so we give them our next two firsts, 24th coming up. And
these
then we
are
give
Steelers fans.
TJ Watt. We give him TJ. It'll hurt. It'll hurt to give him Teej, but we'll give him him, and then we'll give him Terrell Edmonds. And it's like, why would anybody want Terrell Edmonds? And that now you're pawning something off, which is what fantasy football owners do. It's really relatable, actually.
Sure. And, of course.
And then TJ Watt, who has 1 year left before he's owed a massive deal, and his brother JJ looks at the broken Houston Texans franchise and is like, get me out of here. Like, oh yeah, TJ will be excited about inking a long-term deal in that with that organization.
The problem is Bill O'Brien isn't there anymore. Otherwise, he might have pulled the trigger on any of the deals you just said. Let's get into the game. See, we made fun of talking about 2022 or whatever, but we haven't even gotten to the game yet.
It's fun. There are only two teams to talk about. We just talked about 32 teams, essentially. True.
I think I'm going to get these names right. Mahomes and Brady, right? They're not on the quarterback carousel. They'll probably stick around on their respective teams.
You don't
know.
That's even true. You even assume too much. That's why, Sal, 2021's QB carousel is going to be the most intriguing of all time. And that's
I agree.
Brady
I'm with
wins
you now.
all this stuff. I want to play until I'm 50. Brady wins. What do you do? Come on, Tom. Get the hell out. You know, like you beat Mahomes. Do the Namath after three and run off the field like he did in Florida. Wag your finger one last time and go do whatever the hell it is you do with your free time. It's enough.
FanDuel is not moving this line. It's 3 and it's 56 and a half. And it is just a massive amount of props. A massive amount of props out there. Dave, hit us with one. Let's go back and forth. Which one do you like? FanDuel expanded over the weekend and there's a bunch out there. Which one do you like?
I am going to go yes on there being just one. All you have to have is at least one 400-yard passer. I bet it's either Mahomes or Brady who gets it. One of those, at least one of those two. I don't know about a third guy.
Okay,
but yes, plus 250, plus 250, a 400-plus passer. It feels like Mahomes flirts with that almost every week, right? And then on the other side, like we've talked about now for 19 weeks, you kind of have to shoot it out with the Chiefs, and that Bucs offense has been rolling lately. It makes sense to me that old man Brady's going to put up a big number. He's obviously had some big Super Bowls in the past, trying to rally or otherwise.
He's done it twice. How many times do you think it's been done, 400-plus yards in Super Bowl history, 54 games?
I mean, it's a different era. But Bradshaw had two of his first 300-yard passing games of his career in his ninth and tenth.
Totally different question.
Well, you said Super Bowl history. I'm trying to contextualize for the listeners. Okay. Sal, people didn't do it. It's not like, wait a minute, Snake Stabler never did it. Then how? What? People didn't used to do.
How about in the last 20 years? Then,
all right, now we're getting closer.
I'm giving you history, but go ahead. So
I'm buying time, creep.
How many? Just guess.
I'm gonna say it's happened. I'm trying to think. Three times.
That's exactly right. It's happened twice with Brady, 505 and 466, and Kurt Warner, 414. So I get you got Mahomes is going to be one of the greatest of all times, but the odds aren't. All right, throw out even the first 20 Super Bowls. It wasn't happening.
So you're saying 3 out of 40. If we're looking at the last 20 years, forget anything that happened in the last
3 out of 40. So you should probably get 10 to 1 odds, but then you won't, you know? And you're getting what, plus 240? It's fun. It's fun to root for. I'm banking. I personally don't like it because I'm banking on that Bucs defense, but Brady is the one you think that would.
So it's the same odds, right? I'm thinking like you're basically taking both QBs to do it. So you're basically talking about
split it in half.
20 to 1, 20 to, I don't know what the odds are.
But for one game. I get it. So what you really need is you need a team to go down big because Brady's, which games are there? 52. That's definitely the Atlanta game, right? Where he had 505 and 51 is 466. That's
no,
not the
I
Seattle
think the five,
game, is it?
I think the, I could be wrong. I think Atlanta's the 500 yard was the Philly game. Oh, what?
You're right. The 466 was Atlanta. And
Eagles is when he put up the huge number.
505 was against the Eagles, right? All right, so maybe it is Tom Brady. I don't know. I think you have to be down a lot, and I just don't see the game playing out like that. But
if they get down 10 points, the Bucs. Then goodbye, playoff Lenny and Ron Jones. It's going to be 100% throwing the ball.
Sure. Any scoreless quarter plus 550. Not fun to root for, obviously. But these Super Bowls get off to a slow start lately, and especially it's weird because this is the scoring era. You would think it would happen more, and it probably did happen enough in the first 20 Super Bowls. But 3 of the last 6. Have had a scoreless quarter. Certainly the Rams and Patriots a couple of years ago. Any scoreless quarter plus 550 for something that happened half the time in the last half dozen years to get over 5 to 1 odds, not bad, right? A couple points
in
the first quarter.
Boy, that makes no sense, but yes, you're right.
All right, hit me with one. What do you got? What's another one you like?
I'm going to go with Mahomes to throw a first quarter touchdown pass. Makes a ton of sense to me at plus 110 for obvious reasons. Patrick Mahomes is really good at throwing the football. That's how the Chiefs prefer to score their touchdowns. I think that Andy Reid, I think we understand that he knows how to lay out the first 15 plays of a game and have a solid game script. And so it makes sense to me that the Chiefs will have a drive early and get in the end zone early. And unless Tyreek Hill or whoever gets pushed out at the one, I think it's Mahomes throwing it into the end zone. Easy breezy. And by the way, I'll give you another one. Brady on the other side of that, whether they're, I mean, the only reason this wouldn't happen is if the Bucs are ahead in the fourth quarter by double digits. I think Brady is shooting it out or trailing significantly either way. Give me him throwing a fourth quarter touchdown pass at plus 105.
Interesting. All right. Those are good. I like that. I like the second and fourth quarter better than the first and third. I don't know why, just because they have more
hurry
control
up
of the
before
clock.
The half, right.
Yeah, they use their timeouts in the second quarter and all that. Will there be a two-point conversion attempt, Dave?
That kind of feels like that's a coach thing, right? And I like they're both like
decide.
Aggressive.
A lot of the players look to the coach for that.
No, decision. I know. Like, I'm just thinking about like that has to do with like, are you a foot on the gas kind of? Yeah, I think we've seen enough like play a conservative mistakes. I think both coaches are incented, given the chance to, you know, push it a little bit harder. So, yes.
I do, too. Minus 130 is yes. I like that a lot. Tell me what the longest touchdown in the game. How far is it?
Ooh. Well, the Bucs are going to try to limit a super long one. Well, I mean, both teams, I imagine.
Yeah.
Dave's going to be a defensive coordinator here. I have a feeling both teams are like, let's not let the other team score.
They haven't come out
touchdown.
And said as much, but yeah, you have to think.
I think that's right. Has anybody broken that now that you float that? The 73-yard touchdown? Because Kenny King had it in Super Bowl 15, the weirdest of all guys.
Longest touchdowns? Yeah.
Kenny King got it in 15, and that equaled John Stallworth's the year before, which is a funny thing that they went back to back.
Well, what about your boy James Harrison? You're just saying from scrimmage?
Oh yeah, right. So right, you can't beat. Well, I guess you could beat that if you intercepted it in the end. So yeah,
the great
Musi
Muhammad, 85 yards.
Musi Muhammad in a gem of a Super Bowl, 32-29.
I forget about it. Yeah.
By the way, I declared, and I defy you to tell me anything beyond one play from Super Bowl 33, Falcons and Broncos. Am I correct in saying that is the forgotten Super Bowl?
I was at the game. I was sitting next to Ben Stein. I was sitting between Ben Stein and Jimmy Kimmel. We did some Win Ben Stein's Money promotion out there. It was in Miami. And I remember a long pass to Rod Smith for a touchdown.
That's the only play anybody can ever summon from that game is that Rod Smith catches a long pass from Elway in that one. It is the dreariest looking Super Bowl. There's nothing that you can remember like, oh, yeah, because that team wore orange. It's like they both have their ugly uniforms on, their dreary uniforms.
Oh, here we go.
That game is a shame, and the football gods should be ashamed of themselves for putting that one on us. I put out a list on social media the other day, the better Super Bowls versus the ones that we actually got in that given year. If we could add the 15-1 Vikings against Elway going for a repeat, that would have been one for the ages. Instead, we got Chris Chandler.
Ugh. Which Anderson missed? Gary? Which kicker
Gary
missed?
Anderson misses, Gary Anderson misses, right, that keeps him in the game. Then Morton Anderson, who's one of the funniest guys in football history, kicks it in overtime to send them. And he was like, yeah, that was cool. And then he celebrated in his team on the team bus after the game because he was on the phone. Why did he blurt out joy? Because his agent was on the other end, and he said, you just made hundreds of thousands of dollars. Do you know you have a clause that if you kick the team into the Super Bowl, you make X amount of dollars? And so he made a fortune off of that kick. Yeah,
he's very close with Ben Stein, Morton Anderson. That's weird.
I had no idea about that.
They don't know each other. Interesting. All right, let's do this. Should we do this now or should we do this Wednesday? Greg Rosenthal had an article where he lists the top 20 quarterbacks to ever play in the Super Bowl. Now, this is not Super Bowl performance. This is the ranks, the top 20, and it's sort of controversial. He says that Patrick Mahomes is already in the top 20. Do you want to do this? Go back and forth and see if we can come up with 20 names better than Mahomes.
I love the idea. Greg Rosenthal, I don't know. I like the Patriots and Belichick. No, thanks.
You're
no,
friendly with him though, right? I don't know Greg Rosenthal.
I wouldn't call it friendly. No, I wouldn't.
No.
Yes, he's a lovely fellow. Yeah, he's great.
All right, so let's do this, but let's come up with the easy ones first. Don't go in the weeds for the obvious ones. And so if you think they should be in the Hall of Fame, then I think you would blurt out the name, right? Because Mahomes isn't there yet. As great as he is, as physical, the best physical specimen we've seen as a quarterback in a long time, he's not a Hall of Famer if his career ends. So we're trying to come up with 20 better than him to have played in the Super Bowl, right?
All right. I mean, so wait, what's the, so, okay. Yeah. And you're, and I gather that your interest in this is that you're skeptical of.
I don't know. I didn't even look at it. I was like, oh, I don't even want to get mad at this yet because I'm not sure he's wrong. So, but I think it's close, but let's see if we can come up with 20. All right. You guys keep scoring there. Do you want to go first?
Better. So, and this
list the obvious ones first. We'll get to the 15 to 12. We'll get to the, you know, the
all
ones
right,
that are on.
But
the,
okay. But like, right. here's the slippery slope and we'll get them. I don't want to start off with anybody controversial. So I will say, I mean, definitely better than Mahomes, 100%. Like
in your mind, I think anyone you think should be in the Hall of Fame and if they are or not, would be better than Mahomes right now.
Anybody
right?
who's a Hall of Famer. Okay, so that's
well,
the
in,
I was
your,
say,
in
like,
your mind, because there are Hall of Famers that might not be better than Mahomes, but you know what I'm saying. Just throw a name out there.
I just want to make sure I'm playing it right. Tom Brady.
Good. So that's exactly right. Joe Montana.
Shit, I'm stuck.
We'll just pull up a website or something.
I'm not pulling up any website. Okay, I'm not stuck anyway. I'm just playing games with
go
you.
Ahead. All right.
Peyton Manning.
Okay. Drew Brees.
Now I'm stuck.
All definite Hall of Famers here.
John Elway.
Good. All right. I will say Brett Favre.
It's a good one. I think we've just cleared out once we say Aaron Rodgers.
Uh-huh.
I think we've successfully named the top five QBs of the Super Bowl era.
Well, within those seven, you're saying?
I know. I think we just hit them all. We just got Brady, Montana, Favre, Elway, Rodgers. We just got the top five.
Yeah.
And
you didn't
Peyton.
Say Peyton Manning. Yeah.
Well, I don't put him in my top five, but he's right around six or seven. But go
different
ahead.
List. All right. So that's seven. Okay. So now it gets a little harder. All right, I'm gonna say Roger Staubach.
Okay, I will say Pittsburgh Steelers, not counterpart, but Big Ben Roethlisberger.
All right, I will say we are at nine now. I'm gonna say, well, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I hate that I'm offering this up, but Eli Manning.
Wow, I'm surprised by that.
Well, if we go by Hall of Famers, right? If the criteria is he's a Hall of Famer now, Mahomes is not yet a Hall of Famer. But I know, I didn't like that it even left my lips. That's 10. We're halfway there.
I don't either. That's the level of thought that I would expect from Eddie Spaghetti, not you.
Would you argue that, or were you
that
just
he's a Hall of Famer?
It.
Yes, I will argue that, but I'm not
going
to do it right
now.
No,
but that he's better than he had a better career than Mahomes if it ends right now.
No, I would not argue that.
Right.
If Mahomes wins the Super Bowl and then turns to dust like the Avengers in Endgame, then no, I mean he would go down as up there with Brady and Montana, and there would be no exception to that conversation.
All right,
that would
but right it. Now, so now we're halfway through our list. Go ahead, you're picking number 11.
Well, in that case, I will. I feel obliged to go with. I'll just throw out Terry Bradshaw. You know,
okay, fine. It's 12.
I don't need your permission. Fine. I said Bradshaw.
When I say fine, I mean I'm not gonna. Oh, we're not at the argument stage yet.
Okay.
I'll say Troy Aikman.
I knew you would go with Troy Aikman there. Wait a second. Do I get buzzed if I say somebody you already said?
Well.
Okay, here's one.
Should be remembered. Go ahead.
Here's one. He's in the Hall of Fame, so can't really debate this. Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner. I was going to put, I was going to say
Kurt Warner, the most forgotten, and not just because I've talked with him directly about this and know that he's just vaguely like, yeah, it's a little weird that people forget my name. But when you do the rankings of the 15 best Super Bowl era QBs, that Kurt Warner's name isn't just naturally summoned in the top 10 or 12. I know Kurt Warner's like, what else did I have to do, really?
Right.
Except win one more. He beats the Patriots that second time. Or as a Cardinal beats that Steelers defense, there's no question about it. But anyway,
people don't like that he was bagging groceries or something and been played for the.
I think that I don't think they don't like. I think what they don't like is the middle, the the sandwich, the giant sandwich in between the Rams and Cardinals years. But go ahead.
Okay, 13. Here's number 14. Russell Wilson has had a better career than Patrick Mahomes so far.
Yes, and that's true. And he also currently stands as the guy who, when you look at him, you're like, well, how many Super Bowls is this guy going to win? He wins one, then he goes to another one, and he throws that interception to Malcolm Butler. And he hasn't gotten close since, really, relatively speaking. That Russell Wilson, toting that Seahawks team, hasn't gotten close to a Super Bowl since 49. That's not, by the way, if you're not keeping up with it, that's 6 years ago. That's not nothing.
I got you. All right, but this is not an hour-long NFL Network special here. We're just going through names.
Okay, what do you mean?
15.
Okay.
We need number 15.
Look who's getting bored. You brought it up. I'm trying to play a game with you. I'm trying to add some color to our list.
Yeah, but then that's how you forget who was named. But go ahead, let's see. Who's 15?
Did you say Steve Young?
No.
Well, now I just did.
Okay. All right. I wonder if you're going to argue this. No one said Dan Marino yet.
I was holding on to him. I thought you were going to skip over.
I'll say Dan Marino. Okay. Now I think we're going to start talk about someone getting buzzed. 17, 18, 19, 20 will probably be tough.
17, 18, 19, and Rosenthal has them ahead. Is he throwing...
I didn't even look at his list. I just on the surface, I took it. I saw the headline. Rosenthal already puts Patrick Mahomes in the top 20.
I don't want to add the extra layer of kind of getting inside Greg Rosenthal's head. Like, I don't know. I'm going to go with Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
Super Bowls. What the hell?
That was the next one I was going to say. All right. So now it gets a little seven.
By the way, he's more evidence about like when people talk about, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have to add this too. When people do the QB win stuff, what's better? Would you Jim Kelly with four straight Super Bowls? Those Bills teams go to four straight, and people talk way more about the 85 Bears because they won the one.
Yeah,
that Jim I know Kelly. That's not hard and fast numbers that prove anything. I'm just talking about what do people remember more? That's what they remember is that the 85 Bears had one magical season when the Bills had sustained greatness for almost a half decade.
All right, I might get an argument from you here.
Okay.
Because now you have to go back. There might be one or two, on the fence in the last 15 years that we didn't mention that you could bring up. But I'm going to say Kenny the Snake Stabler.
Well, I mean, you know, you can't really say Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes has had a better career now.
Yeah, sure. You think so? So sure. Far, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really? It's enough now. Yeah, it's enough.
Stabler's a four-time Pro Bowl MVP in 74. Player of the year, 74.
Did you just say Pro Bowl MVP as though no, that's
I'm
a thing?
I'm listing. He's four-time Pro Bowl MVP. That's a list. Made the Pro Bowl four times, won the MVP in 74. So that's where you would argue with me.
It is Stabler. Bad that, I mean, yeah, that one. The guy who, you know, outmoded, no disrespect to people who are longtime Packers fans, but Bart Starr is a guy from another era, obviously.
I'm trying, right. I was trying to stay away, but I think Stabler stands out. I was just looking at his numbers, and I know there's great highlights of him and everything. And, who would you take over Stabler, but not as, but better than Mahomes?
Well, the guy who people love to argue about, and it lays bare that they don't know what they're talking about, is Joe Namath. Joe Namath,
that's who you're going to pick.
Well, I mean, he was ruined by injury, but you know, as somebody who is a pedigree snob and likes if you have a short window of dominance.
This is a Beaver Falls thing right here. This is a Pennsylvania. I got to get my Pennsylvania boys.
Well, he's the coolest guy of all time. But yes, look, Namath.
The coolest guy at 220 interceptions to 173 touchdowns.
Ah, the era. Mahomes look at the numbers in the era.
That was the era of that everyone threw interceptions?
Yes. Yeah, look at everybody's interception totals when Namath was playing versus now. Everybody, every ham and egg throws.
Stabler's better than Namath. He is. Maybe not what he meant for the game, but just as in terms of
In terms of football deeds. Okay, I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to get crazy about that. Or do we want to talk about Len Dawson is worthy of some consideration? That guy, I certainly am not going to throw Bob Greasy at you, even though he has a Hall of has a gold jacket and two rings. Obviously, he should have his taken away. What about Sir Francis? I mean, Tarkenton is what's crazy. Right. The anomalous guy, when you start talking about everybody in the 21st century has huge passing numbers. It's crazy when you look up those numbers that the one name that's still in there from a completely different time is Fran Tarkenton. And part of it is for how long he played, but no matter how you want to measure it, it's crazy that you're like, yeah. And then it goes Phil Rivers, and then it goes Matt Stafford, and then there's Fran Tarkenton, who retired 40 years ago. It's crazy.
He ran around a lot. Yeah, he 47,000 passing yards for sure, 3,700 rushing yards. Well, that's it. That's what I wanted to see. We got like 17, 18 in before we argued. Tarkenton, I think, was the Jim Kelly, different quarterback, but of the 70s, right? Kind of, they just went to the game forever And
he went to right. He didn't go to four, but the Vikes went to four.
He lost three. Yeah.
He lost. He lost.
Joe Kapp lost the first.
8, 9, 11. Tarkenton did.
All right. So that was it. Imagine that's all that. I wanted to make. That's the only point I wanted to make there, that we couldn't get to 20 without arguing.
Well, I'm also like, I mean, I think we've kind of had this conversation, but Frank Gore to me isn't a Hall of Famer, and Terrell Davis is. No. I like the shorter. Dominant period of success. That's more important to me.
Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, that you're going to get an argument there, right?
Neither one of those guys is solidly a Hall of Famer at this point.
I don't even know who else we're missing. Kind of Plunkett. None of these guys. Phil Sims.
Right. I mean, right. You can't throw. Fouts didn't get to it, but he's a kind of a fun name to consider, not against Mahomes, but where Fouts ranks in history as
for sure. Out of the ones that didn't make it. Yeah. All right. So that's that. Let's switch gears to basketball. We'll be doing props all week long. The Against All Odds crew and I will do Tuesday night. We're going to do props. Oh, they're bursting at the seams. Harry's literally bursting at the seams, but they have like 100 props that we're going to go over later in the week. But right now, Dave, it's time for our Crown Royal Athlete of the Week, and I am giving it to Dame Lillard of the Portland Trailblazers. 44 points against the Chicago Bulls and a dagger at the end at the buzzer. My God, he's hitting these deep threes. No one hits these deep threes like Dame Lillard does to win a game. I've not seen anything like it. He's Kobe Bryant in terms of game-winning shots at the buzzer, but they're so freaking deep. I don't know how he does it. Two threes in 8 seconds, averaging 37-5, an MVP candidate. Once again, Dame Lillard is my Crown Royal Athlete of the Week. Dave, who's yours?
Well, let's keep it all basketball, and with a tip of the hat to all the QBs out there. It's an exciting QB market as we're not even in the offseason yet. And let me start out. Hey, Denver. Think globally, act locally. You have a guy who could potentially take over with that gaggle of pass catchers for you in 2021. Nikola Jokic, make him a two-sport athlete, put him under center. It'd be quite a sight. In the meantime, until then, I think I know people like to celebrate Jokic because the Joker is a delight above a lot of other things. But enough with the pretty boy MVPs and everything else. I know it's the age of Tom Brady. Tom Brady's, I'm saying, it's enough with that age. It's time for Jokic.
Giannis won it the last couple of years, but I don't know.
All right. I'm talking about what Jokic does. Has there ever been a better passing center in pro basketball history? I know that's hyperbolic, but I don't think so. He's getting pretty close to averaging a triple-double. Again, this is an NBA center. It wasn't that long ago when people would look at Oscar Robertson and say, nobody will ever equal that. I mean, average to triple-double. And, of course, we've seen guys play at that position, backcourt guys, get pretty close. Obviously, triple doubles are more common than they were a decade ago. But from a center, a guy who just about every game throws a better deep ball than half the NFL QBs do to a guard on a breakout. Jokic, I love what he's doing. He's a delight. That whole team is a delight. And they're starting to move up ever so slightly in the ever mighty West. Do yourself a favor. If you see that team is playing basketball, make sure you tune in. Because of Jokic and beyond, that is a imminently watchable and delightful team as we move into February, away from football season. All is not lost, thanks to the Joker.
Well, I think he'd appreciate you giving him the Crown Royal Athlete of the Week honors, but the fact that you butchered his first name, I don't know.
Nikola. How do you say it?
Nikola. Nikola.
Nope.
No, it's Nikola.
No, it's not.
Jim,
not
Ricola.
It's Nikola.
No. It's you're Nikola. Trying to get too cute there.
Huh?
Nikola.
I think I'm pretty trustworthy when it comes to pronunciation, Sal.
Really?
Yes. Right. Jokic. Nikola Jokic. Where do you think people in Pittsburgh are from, Sal? Everybody's got the Eastern European blood. I'm gonna trust half Italian, half Jew. I think I know my stuff, Sal. I come from the banks of the Three Rivers. These are names in which I trade. I'm steeped. I have Eastern European blood running through me right now. You're gonna tell me what is? I don't think so, sir.
Nikola. Now I can't even remember who I'm saying.
It's Nikola.
Oh, for God's sakes. Crown Royal is a perfect addition to your NFL game day. Don't forget, stay hydrated, drink responsibly. That was a Crown Royal water break. Moderate your drinking on game day. Stay hydrated. Stay royal. What do we have? The Extra Points Gang at gmail.com. Reach out to us. Do it if you have anything to say. I think I do have one email I want to read before we... from Todd Hansen. He writes, I look forward to listening to your podcast, but could you please drop your daily angst with the pandemic? What? In the last 10 months, I've taken 2 lake vacations, family and friends, flown to Branson to watch shows with other brave seniors, celebrated Thanksgiving and Christmas, and went to an indoor water park. I also referee youth soccer and bowl 3 times a week, still living. I realize I'm lucky enough to live in a state where most leaders still recognize personal freedoms. There you go. But you guys need to take a cue from your pal Corolla and get out from under your rock, bubble rock. Keep up the good work, Todd Evans. Thanks for listening, Todd, but I'm not sure that you are, in fact, listening. Are we doom and gloom about the pandemic? I feel like it's been a while since we even commented to any great length.
I agree. Listen, that's a guilty conscience. People keep bringing this stuff up when they want to control, like, stick to sports, isn't it? You don't hear stick to sports everywhere if you talk about anything other than sports. You hear it when people don't like being told, like, a lot of people seem to be sharing that opinion that this is bad. And so they want to push back and make themselves feel better. I'm sorry to say that.
They're one and the same. You can't talk about sports without the pandemic.
Of course.
It's been as affected as it's been. A and B, I have a job where I can't go to the lake with my friends and everything because and I have to quarantine for 10 days. So I don't know. I would love to do a lot of this stuff and I would even try it. And, I hope you're wearing a mask doing all this stuff. That's the only thing I'll say. It's not all about selflessness here.
We had a great wiffle ball game that then turned into a football game. I'm an automatic quarterback and Jacques-Claude Van Damashek against his sister
you did
Oprah.
It this weekend?
We did it just yesterday and then we did some wiffle balling as well. I mean, so you know, don't tell me about staying under a rock.
You're not going to Branson though anytime soon?
I'm not. I have no trips planned to Branson.
Interesting.
Maybe we should do that. That'll be a part of our trip across America in the car as soon as football season's over. We're all going to do that.
Get ready, guys. He's not joking around. Oh, we forgot United. Joel's mad. We forgot Johnny Unitas. Obviously, right? I think. I mean, again, the highlights are before my time, but I think he's top 18. John Unitas.
No, Dave? Well, I see you don't care. See, you bring a subject up, but then you get like, well, now you're getting too much with it, Dave. But let me just say, Johnny Unitas, great, but in the Super Bowl era, no. You have to. He's the one that you have to draw a line.
Sure,
pre-Super Bowl. Yeah, no, Johnny U, I don't think makes it in the Super Bowl era.
I see.
No, I think we're fine on that. Not Craig Morton.
Yeah, no, but the idea is their career better? The Super Bowl is just a template of where these are the people eligible for the list, I think.
The guy who could be, we could do this forever. I could do this forever.
That's good.
The guy who could be in the Hall of Fame that feels the most ridiculous, like sort of case to try to make is Danny White. I know that hurts you, Sal, because as a child,
he's my favorite player.
In 1980, he takes over for the great Roger Staubach. And by the way, Danny White was punting in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Go watch him. He punts in the Super Bowl. Number
pretty
11.
Good, too. Pretty
good. Yeah, he was a good punter. And then he was punting. And it would be like, oh, we didn't get it on 3rd and 8. Okay, I got to go punt it now. And Danny White would keep punting. He was the starting quarterback, and he punted for the Cowboys. 1980. He pulls off a furious rally against a really good Atlanta Falcons team, hits a couple of fourth quarter passes to Drew Pearson, and almost gets them, but is vanquished in the last minute, famously, by Joe Montana. Otherwise, he and the Cowboys, in the year after Staubach, go ask Mr. Furley how hard it is to replace a legend. Danny White takes over for Staubach, just about gets them to a Super Bowl, would have derailed the Bill Walsh, Joe Montana dynasty. Instead, he would have beaten the Bengals, Danny White. He would have gotten a ring there. The
next
year,
man, that bums me out.
They play in RFK, and of course, everybody knows people who are nerds know that Drew Pearson got horse-collared and just about broke it in Candlestick after the catch by Dwight Clark. And then they play in RFK. He gets hurt, and Gary Hogaboom comes in. Who knows if that game goes the other way, if Danny White stays healthy, maybe they win that game, or maybe because they had just won the Super Bowl, the Cowboys in general are imbued with a different level of confidence.
And in a way, he's as cursed as Romo. Some of these teams, 12-14, and 11-14, 12-4, 10-4 with these teams, and can never get to the big game. I loved Danny White. I loved him.
What do you got to plug, Dave? Right.
No, you didn't skip anything.
He loses in Philly, but then in 81 is the one. So 81, then 82. He goes three straight. He could have been, if he wins two rings, Danny White taking over for the America's team and all that, he would have been in the Hall of Fame.
Dave, -3 later in the week. You're at that.
Don't cut me off. I'm just getting going. Now
I'll just leave. And then you could talk all you want about Eddie Bubby Brister. I don't give a shit, but I gotta get going. At Damashek.
He used to be Joe Theismann, and then he wanted to talk. No, yeah, at Damashek, we'll have -3 Super Bowl edition for you. Also, we'll continue to look at the hot and heavy Mass Mutual division with spaghetti and meatballs there. Eddie Spaghetti and Michael Meatballs chopping it up hockey style. Lots of good puck going on. Boy, tune in. I said NBA. Tune into the NHL. It's just been a marvelous season.
I don't even want to say this because but we got it in 1 minute. I just have to say, I don't know if Michael Meatballs is included in this, but I have a lot of hockey fan friends. I don't want to say they're bored, but they're like, we got to get a little Kings Rangers. We got to get a little Anaheim. We got to get it's a little much. It's a home and homes.
It's great.
Check in with me a month from now if you're bored of the Sabres Rangers for the 75th time.
That's because your friends are all Islanders fans. I'd be bored too. They play boring hockey and they're not very good right now. If you watched Edmonton and Toronto and your boy Austin Matthews, I thought of you when he potted one against, just the high-end talent out there on Saturday night was a positive delight and a nice distraction from watching Pitt get absolutely humiliated by Notre Dame. Ugh.
At the Cousin Sal, for me, buy my book, You Can't Lose Them All. Yes, we have Against All Odds later in the week going over every single, we're going to try to do every prop bet, every single one. We're going to go over. And we got laugh lines later in the week. Lemon Pepper Parlay guys will be giving their picks. We will have our picks up. And don't forget, there's nothing you can do about it now other than to make a parlay or a bet on FanDuel, our extra points, extra chance, bad beat, buyback contest. Harry is going to give somebody $5,555. But there's an excellent chance he doesn't make it with this money from Western Union to someone's house. That's going to be interesting. Plus, I want to stage a robbery, too. So that's going to be good.
And there's always a good chance he's just going to have a massive heart attack, too. Factoring that in.
That's absolutely true. All right. And a reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites. See you Wednesday.